A stream of light sweep across the earth, illuminating the continents. Large white letters edged with gold wind round the equator to reveal the word Universal. www.universalstudios.com. Discs form a stylized image of Saturn, the logo of UFO International Productions, LLC. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Revelation 9, verses 3 and 4. UFO International Productions, LLC, Swarm Productions, LLC, and Sci-Fi Pictures present... Locusts, the Eighth Plague. Dan Cortese. Julie Benz. David Keith, Kirk B.R. Waller, and Jeff Fay. Casting by Rob Richards, Mariana Stanishiva, costume designer Irina Toskova. Music by Pier Paolo Tiano, production designer Kes Bonnet. Director of photography Lorenzo Senatori, edited by John Quinn, William Daniels. Visual effects producer, PJ Foley. Visual effects supervisor, Fred Alderschult. Line producer, John Capilla. Written by D.R. Rosen. Executive producer, TJ Sakasegawa. Produced by Jeffrey Beach, Philip Roth. Directed by Ian Gilmore. Under a blue sky, a tanker drives past a row of trees on a narrow country road. Written on the side is the swirling S company logo of Silogen. It drives past a large elongated dome like the sections of an insect's abdomen. The caption reads, Silogen Research Center, 15 miles outside Prairie, Idaho. Inside the cavernous dome beneath an hexagonal glass roof are neat rows of corn stalks with insects buzzing around. Doors open and a group of men in white hazmat suits, goggles and respirators file in, some clutching clipboards. One of the men empties insects from a metal box onto the thin, reed-like corn stalks. Elsewhere in the complex, a pair of middle-aged men stride into a bustling control centre, one bespectacled and wearing a suit, Russ Snow, and the other rugged, wearing a sports jacket and jeans, Gary Wolf.
Well, you ought to be proud of yourself, Russ. Years of hard work about to pay off. Shouldn't have any trouble getting an underwriter after this.
Just wish I had a little time to run a few more tests.
Well, think of all the tests you can run after the offering.
I just want to be sure.
Look, we're going to be under negative pressure during the release. You got nothing to worry about. All right, where are we?
Crop is at maximum concentration.
All right, what are we waiting for? Get your people out of there.
All personnel clear the dome.
I repeat, all personnel clear the dome.
Stand by for X-Swarm release.
A goateed technician at a computer activates a display showing swarms of locusts and a graphic which reads locusts 99.9%. Russ looks solemn, but Gary grins as the personnel vacate the dome.
The dome is clear of Silogen personnel. Dome is under negative pressure.
All right, let him go.
And opening the holding pens.
Amidst a warren of passageways, an iris door opens to reveal a dimly lit hive-like pen swarming with locusts.
Relax, Russ. Got plenty of time to work the bugs out. Have a martini.
Gary hands Russ a cocktail glass. As the locusts stream out of the holding pen, the computer display of locust percentage counts down rapidly, and the iris door closes.
Holding pen is empty.
Let her rip.
As a clean-shaven technician types, Gary sips his martini and pats a troubled-looking Russ on the back. In the dome, a circular slatted vent opens and the locusts swarm in, practically turning the air black. They rip through the crops, picking off the insects. A display shows the percentage of locusts increasing as the percentage of insects decreases. Gary and Russ stand at a window looking out across the dome.
How long?
Just over a minute.
That should do it. Bring him back in.
Triggering pheromone lure now.
A circular vent opens, and the gas seeps out of it, drawing the locusts in. A computer display reads scan complete and shows the percentages for locusts and insects at zero.
The dome is clear.
All right. Take us off negative pressure, backflush the system, and somebody find me a bug.
The computer display shows a scan and video of the dome. Using a joystick, the clean-shaven technician operates a camera that sweeps across the dome on a wire. The crop is untouched and in orderly rows. The camera shows a sea of green stalks and the screen flashes scan complete, the readings at 0% for both locusts and insects.
They're all gone.
How's the crop?
It's fine.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
What about the corn?
The corn's fine.
They didn't touch the corn. It worked. It actually worked.
The most destructive form of locust on the planet. And ours eats the bugs off the corn. How's it feel? Be worth about $500 million.
Feels great. What's that?
The holding pen's empty.
It's impossible. You triggered the lure.
No, the pen's empty. Look.
Gary and Russ stare at the monitors.
What the hell?
Did you backflush the system?
We did that already. Uh-oh.
What?
It looks like the back pressure has opened one of the external vents.
Well, close the damn thing.
No response. It's jammed.
Keep them in there. We'll close it manually.
Get Bartlett down there on the double.
But, sir, the swarm is still in the...
Close that vent!
You take this thing. You understand me?
Wearing a hazmat suit, Bartlett investigates.
I'm in.
Move it. Move it!
Bartlett shines a light in the gloom.
All right, I see it.
He taps at a keyboard by the open iris door vent, but it doesn't move. He tries again, but still no movement, so he tugs at the jammed door.
It's stuck. Can you guys hear me? I'm getting nothing but static on my end. Wait a minute.
Close the vent! Close the damn vent!
Shining his torch into the eerie gloom, Bartlett walks along a warren of narrow corridors. A swarm of locusts flies towards him. They rip into him and he falls to the floor. Gary and Russ listen in, looking grave as the locusts feed on Bartlett's flesh.
Did he close the vent?
Negative. The vent's still open.
We've lost them.
How many?
All of them. The entire swarm.
Russ and Gary exchange a look of weary resignation as the swarm spreads across a blue sky. A guy on a motorbike pulls up beside a cornfield.
Mike! Mike! Go to Field 7 and bring back some of those apples, okay?
All right.
The farmer and his wife approach a handsome, dark-haired guy standing by a truck.
Kid had half a brain, he'd be dangerous. Colt?
Hank?
Hi, Colt.
How you doing?
We're fine.
Yeah, we're okay.
How's Vicky?
Oh, she's real well.
Well, sure gonna throw those pesticide boys for a loop.
Really, how's that?
My apples don't need another spray until harvest.
Oh, it sounds like I'm bioengineering myself right out of business, huh?
Maybe.
Hey, Hank, you think maybe I could get that $1,600 from the last spring?
$1,600? Ain't that a little high?
Well, I'm not using any caustic chemical pesticides. It's all organic. It costs a lot more to produce, but with the reduction in your spraying, your pesticide cost is going to go down by 25%.
Good point. All right.
I'll cut you a check tomorrow. Come on by after you land. Say hi to Vicky.
I will. All right, take care.
On the side of Colt's truck is the Leaf logo of All Organic. Later, Colt pulls up outside a remote lakeside house in the shadow of Green Hills, where a slender blonde woman is waving away smoke from a barbecue.
Vic!
Hey!
What are you doing at home?
And what is that smell?
I had some tests running at the lab, and I won't get the results until morning, so I thought I'd surprise you by ruining dinner.
I think you may have done it, Vic.
Done what?
I hit 7 farms today. Not a single farm scheduled a second spraying. They didn't need it. It works. The formula works.
I told you, didn't I? I told you it would work.
You were right.
Oh, I knew you could do it. I know how hard it was for you to leave Silogen and my father, but this is what you're supposed to really be doing.
I know, and I couldn't have done any of it without you.
Well, you know, I'm good like that.
Yeah.
They kiss passionately. At Silogen, torchlights slice through the murky, narrow corridors, and Russ leads the way, clutching a respirator over his mouth and nose. A team member finds some slime on the wall and picks up a dead locust, dripping with slime. Wearing a respirator and white hazmat suit, he goes after the rest of the party, led by Russ through the warren of corridors. Russ turns a corner and his eyes widen as the torchlight picks out the bloodied remains of Bartlett spread across the corridor in pieces.
Oh, God.
Later, in Gary's office.
We got a problem.
What in the hell is that?
That's what's left of Bartlett. I found it in shaft 6.
A severed foot in a blood-stained white boot. Gary closes the door, looking furtive.
We don't say anything about this to anybody.
What are you talking about? They're out there. Look what they did to him.
Well, who's to say they did this? Maybe he slipped and fell into the exhaust fan.
This is no time to joke around. We've got to contact the Department of Agriculture and have them set up a quarantine zone until the swarm dies off. And we got to do it now.
No. I won't risk it.
You won't risk it?
We've come too far. Invested too much money, too many years. You and I both know what'll happen if either of us says anything about this accident.
I don't give a damn about the money!
Well, I do. I'm not gonna see all that we've built go down the tubes for some glitch.
You call a man's life a glitch!
Think it through, Russ.
I have thought it through, and this is the right thing to do.
Look, all I'm talking about is a couple of days. I mean, think about it. In a way, you solved this crisis for us when you first created the X-Swarm.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. Early proof of concept. How do we keep the farmers coming back and buying the bugs from us? What's to keep them from hatching a swarm of their own? And you had the answers, because you're the genius. You made them all drones so they can't breed, and you shortened their lifespan. Now, how long has this batch been in the pen before the experiment? A day? That means that they only have a couple of days before they die off.
Gary. We are talking about the most voracious species of locusts on Earth. Their sole purpose is to eat. Once they clear a feeding area, they just move on to one, to another, to another!
And thanks to you, they don't eat crops anymore. They eat the insects that threaten the crops.
And what happens when they run out?
They'll be dead in 2 days.
For a species that went through North Africa in 1 month, 2 days isn't a very long time. When the food runs out, what are they gonna eat then?
Hank's driving a combine harvester through a field of tall corn. Agatha pulls up in a truck on the edge of the field. A monitor screen in the cab of the combine shows static.
Agatha, can you read me?
What's up?
Getting a lot of interference in the field position program.
Did Mike order another video game on this thing?
I don't know. Been looking for him all morning.
Hold on, I got a failure in the Husker blades.
He climbs out of the cab and picks through the corn towering over him to find the bloody corpse of a cow.
What the hell?
Agatha, there's a dead steer caught in the blades.
Maybe one got loose from the Berry Ranch.
Maybe. But there's something else. It looks like something's eaten its skin clean off.
Wait a second. I hear something.
She ventures into the corn stalks.
Mike!
She finds Mike's motorbike lying on the ground.
Hank, something's happened. Mike!
What?
She finds Mike's body, his face stripped of skin, and instantly flees.
Hank, something killed Mike. Get over here.
Oh, okay, Agatha, sit tight. I'm pulling the combine out, and I'm coming to get you.
Hank emerges from the corn stalks to find the combine encrusted with locusts.
Agatha, get back in your truck and get out of here. Now!
He runs through the tall stalks as elsewhere in the vast field, Agatha heads for the truck. The swarm hunts Hank down.
Hank!
They pick over him like vultures as Agatha emerges from the field to be confronted by a swarm that overwhelms her. Colt pulls up by the abandoned combine. Striding into the field, he finds the butchered remains of the cow.
Hank?
By the edge of the combine, he finds a trampled path through the tall, swaying corn stalks. Like a jungle explorer picking his way through the undergrowth, he finds a dead locust the size of his hand.
What the hell?
He crouches down to pick it up, looking bemused, then carries on through the dense stalks.
Hank?
He finds Hank's bloody remains, the skin stripped from his face and his eye sockets empty. Colt backs away in horror. Prairie, Idaho, and Colt pulls up outside an office block where the remains of a cow are in the back of a truck, and a preacher has a small audience.
The end days are upon us. Repent! Then came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. As the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded to them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree.
Praise the Lord!
Colt strides into the busy reception area of the USDA.
Where can I find Vicky Snow?
I think that I saw her head into her office. But you can't go up there, sir.
He hurries through the crowd and dashes up a spiral staircase and turns a corner, marching into Vicky's office.
Vicky, hey.
Oh, Colt, it's not a good time.
Listen, I just came from the Odoms farm. Hank's been killed.
Killed?
Yeah.
What about his wife, Agatha?
I don't know. I saw a truck parked on the other side of the field.
Oh, my God.
The other thing is, there were dead locusts. Desert locusts.
Locusts?
Yeah, and it appeared that the locusts had attacked them and not the crops. But I know that's not possible.
Are you sure they were desert locusts?
Well, I didn't put one under a microscope, but yeah, I'm pretty sure. Vicky, what is going on here?
We're still trying to figure it out. Look, we've been getting reports, 40 or 50 so far. Mutilated livestock, cattle.
Any other human casualties?
No, but if what happened at the Odoms farm is any indication, we're gonna have a panic situation. I mean, right now, I'm dealing with every farmer across two counties up in arms.
If I could just get a look at one of those cows.
They just brought in some mutilated parts of one. I'm about to take a look.
Well, let me sit in.
USDA only.
Oh.
Look, the government wants us to keep a lid on it until we know exactly what it is we're dealing with.
Honey, you're a veterinarian. If these locusts are connected to the mutilations, you're gonna need an entomologist and a damn good one.
A short time later, they're marching along a corridor suited up in goggles, pulling up their hoods and putting respirators in place. Vicky leads the way into a lab where a bloody cow's head is on an examination table.
Whatever did this was pretty thorough, I can tell you that much. There's practically nothing left here. Definitely looks like it was eaten.
Striations.
This wasn't done by an animal. There aren't any bite marks, teeth rips, scissor tissue. There's no evidence of that. The affected area is too clean.
Yeah, should have kept the specimen of the locust I found on the farm, but after I saw Hank, I really didn't have the stomach for research.
He picks up the head by the horns and turns it over to examine it further.
Hey.
Wearing latex gloves, he picks at the bloody flesh with a scalpel.
Hey, what's that?
I don't see anything.
Give me those tweezers there. And move the light.
He reaches into a fleshy cavity with the tweezers. And fishes out a dead locust.
Got it.
How can that be? I thought all locusts were herbivores.
They are.
There must be some other way it got in there.
Well, there's one way to find out.
Okay, let's find out what this guy ate.
He puts it under a microscope and scans it. A graphic on a computer screen highlights the stomach contents.
What do you think?
That's definitely tissue.
Now we know how he got inside the cow.
It can't be right. It goes against everything. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, I have. Before I left Silogen, they had me sequencing fruit fly DNA.
Are you saying my father has something to do with this?
All I know is that Wolf and your dad were looking into new pesticides, okay? Your dad thought he could engineer a bug that would eat other bugs. The fruit fly was just a test bed. I kept telling them that there was just too many chances that things could get out of control.
In a forest, a boy plays with a model glider.
Kyle, come back over here and finish your sandwich.
I'm full, Mom.
You barely touched it.
I'm not hungry.
He launches the glider and it soars through the air. Leaving his parents behind at a picnic table, he chases through trees after the glider. He runs out into a clearing as he sees the glider start to descend. In the afternoon sunshine, his parents sit opposite one another at the picnic bench. Kyle runs along a rocky path at the foot of a mountain as he follows the glider into a cave where it lands on the ground amongst a scattering of dead locusts. As he kneels down to pick up the glider, Kyle is bemused to find the dead locusts at his feet. He looks up to find that the high walls of the cave are crawling with locusts. He drops the glider as he runs away.
Help! Help! Help!
What's that sound? I don't know. Maybe power lines?
Kyle's mum gets up from the bench.
Kyle! Kyle, where are you?
A vast swarm of locusts pours out of the cave.
Do you hear me?
As his parents are eaten alive and the car is pelted with slime and dead locusts, Kyle desperately starts up the car. He drives the car into a tree and faints as the locusts are drawn to the vehicle like bees to a honey pot.
Wait, where are you going?
Going to see your dad. From Wright's, it's gonna get a hell of a lot worse. We don't have much time.
What do you want me to do?
Get a hold of your people. We're gonna need all the help we can get.
A short time later, Colt bursts into Russ's office at Silogen.
Colt.
What have you done, Russ?
What are you talking about?
You turned on the television lately?
All over the country, as the Department of Agriculture races to identify the source of these bizarre mutilations, city of...
You and I both know what is responsible for this.
What are you trying to accuse me of?
I know what you did. Why, huh? Did Gary feed you that Russell, you're a genius crap?
You and I both know that that project was abandoned 2 weeks after you left the company.
I was there, Russ, at one of the farms right after the attack. I saw them. Now, I told you all the things that could go wrong with this, but you wouldn't listen. You had to go to prototype. Well, your prototype is out there destroying half of the county right now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, you can't hide forever. People will find out. Vicky already knows.
What did you tell Vicky?
Stop it. Okay, you need to help us stop them before this thing gets completely out of control. We have got to contain this swarm before anyone else is killed.
It'll all be over by tomorrow. The swarm is made up of drones. They can't breed. We've programmed them for a 2-day lifespan. Everything will be dead by morning.
2 days? A 2-day killing spree, and that makes everything okay?
It was an accident. It was all an accident. I can't destroy everything. This company is my life's work.
Just think about the fact that your life's work killed a lot of innocent people.
Colt, please tell Vicky that I
am not gonna lie to your daughter for you, Russ. You wanna try and explain yourself? You know where to find her.
Russ goes to Gary's office.
How much does he know?
Everything.
What'd you tell him?
I didn't have to tell him anything. He already knew.
You realize what's gonna happen if it leaks that Silogen was responsible?
Well, maybe we should just...
Should just what? Tell him what happened? The company will go down the drain, and you and I will be lucky not to spend the rest of our lives in jail. We need to cover our tracks.
What do you suggest we do?
You, backed up all your research, right?
Of course I did.
Get rid of everything. The eggs, the larvae, get it all off-site. Sterilize the lab. Any notes, any copies you got lying around, I want them shredded tonight. All this blows over, we'll start again. That's just a setback, that's all. All right, Russ? And another thing. You tell that future son-in-law of yours, if he so much as sets one foot in this building ever again, I'll kill him. Nobody is gonna destroy this company. I mean nobody. Not even you.
Looking somber, Russ heads to the door. He's about to leave when he turns back to Gary, sat at his desk.
Make something clear, Gary. Colt's not flesh and blood, so there's only so much else. My daughter. There's nothing I won't do.
They glare at each other. Then Russ turns and leaves. A police car drives along a leaf-strewn country road.
Has your search turned up anything?
I got nothing. No sign of any swarm of killer bees.
They're locusts.
Yeah, I know. Locusts. It's just the killer locust doesn't quite have the same ring. Look, tell the feds I'm all over this and I'll call as soon as I got something, okay?
Copy that, Henderson.
Sheriff Henderson spots the car that Kyle drove into a tree.
Hang on a second. I may have something. I'll get back to you.
Henderson puts on his hat as he strides towards the car. He finds the car covered in a crust of scraps of bloody flesh, slime, and dust. He goes round to the driver's side. He wipes slime off the window and spots Kyle, his face flecked with bloody cuts, and tries the door.
Son, open the door.
Kyle's eyes are open, but he has a vacant, faraway expression. Henderson goes round to the passenger side, and finding that locked too, unclips his truncheon from his belt. He reaches in and takes Kyle out, the boy frozen in shock. He carries the limp Kyle in his arms back to the patrol car. As he crosses the open space, he spots the picnic bench and the bloody remains of Kyle's parents. As he gets Kyle into the car, a vast swarm of locusts appears above the trees. They form into a swirling cloud and swoop towards the car as Henderson hurriedly gets behind the wheel. He speeds off in reverse as locusts splat into the car. Kyle lies on the back seat, his eyes wide open, blood pouring down his face. Henderson speeds away from the swarm and past a sign which reads, State of Idaho, Welcome to Prairie, Population 36,000. He rushes into a hospital with Kyle in his arms.
I need help!
At an airport, a guy with fair, thinning hair dressed in a dark suit gets out of a people carrier and is ushered into a military helicopter, where he meets a dark-haired man in a sharp suit.
Greg Ballard.
Alex Grimes.
I guess this is pretty important, considering you flew all the way out here to get me.
So, you were the man who took care of the locust problem down in North Africa.
Yes, sir. I was part of the international team.
Well, we have another situation. This time here in the United States.
What kind of situation?
A locust infestation. In Idaho.
It's got to be more than infestation if you're talking to me.
These are more than your standard run-of-the-mill locusts.
How so?
We believe they're bioengineered.
Bioengineered? By who?
A company called Silogen.
Silogen. Genetically modified foods and pesticides. A few years ago, they violated a bunch of Section 8 rules. Last thing I heard, they were supposed to get shut down.
That's right. But they have money. Money buys lawyers. Good ones. So they got off the hook with just a fine. And now, they're back in business. Seems like they were engineering some kind of modified locust as a pesticide alternative. Problem is, the entire nest escaped.
So what would you like me to do, sir?
We need you to contain them. And every resource we have is at your disposal. I don't need to tell you how bad it'll be if these bio-engineered locusts go unchecked.
You probably engineered them to be carnivores rather than herbivores. And if that's the case, we're gonna have a major catastrophe on our hands.
damn it!
With his mobile not working, Colt stops on a remote country road to make a call from a telephone post.
Hello?
Vicky!
Colt, did you talk to my dad?
Yeah, I saw him.
So it was Silogen, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I guarantee they're going to make it virtually impossible for us to prove it.
You know, right now, all I care about is stopping it before anybody else gets killed. I put in a call to Washington. They're sending an emergency response team. Should be here by this afternoon.
Okay, great. Listen, your father told me something that might help. He said that he engineered some fail-safes into this thing and that the swarm should die out by the morning.
Finally, some good news.
Yeah, but we gotta find them because they can do a lot of damage in 2 days. I'll see ya.
The vast swarm sweeps past a farm like a dark storm cloud. At USDA.
I've got my people working on some maps, and the weather service lent us a satellite. Now, I don't know if it'll help.
It's a start. Where are we?
Right here.
Vicky leads Colt into an incident room with a long table in the center and shows him a map on the wall.
The white pins represent confirmed reports. Dead livestock, etc. So far, the Odom's farm seems to be the first.
Okay, what about outside the county?
Not yet. In the good news, the swarm seems to be sticking to a relatively small area. We still have to stage evacuations and the pattern can change.
Mm-hmm. And it will as soon as they clear out their feeding ground.
How long we got?
It's hard to say. They've been at it for quite some time already.
Well, I've notified the field offices in Ellis and surrounding counties. They're standing by on alert.
Well, hopefully we can stop the swarm before they get that far.
Dr. Snow?
Yes?
A family was attacked out near the Frisco Picnic Grounds. A state trooper just brought the little boy to Prairie General.
We're on our way.
What do you want me to say to the people who keep calling in?
Just tell them we have the situation under control.
So you want me to lie?
You got it.
At the hospital, wearing scrubs, Vicky and Colt are shown into the mortuary, and bloody sheets are pulled back to show the remains of Kyle's parents. They recoil, and Vicky holds a mask over her nose and mouth.
They look just like that cow that was brought in, don't they?
Yes. You said the sheriff brought the child here.
Yes, he did.
Is he still here?
Yes, he is. I'll get someone to find out which room he's in.
Wearing a hospital gown, Kyle is sat on the edge of a bed, frozen like a statue, his eyes wide and blank, his mouth agape, as the doctor shows in Vicky and Colt.
Has he said anything?
He's been like this since they brought him in.
What's his name?
We don't know. We're waiting for an ID of the parents.
This is Colt? Good, thank you. I'll be down in just a second. They found the sheriff.
Colt leaves, and Vicky slowly crouches down beside Kyle, his cuts cleaned up and a dressing on his forehead.
What's your name, sweetheart? Can you tell me your name?
He doesn't react. Outside the hospital...
How the kid made it after seeing what happened to his parents, I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, I know.
They just kept coming. I've never seen anything like it.
Colt examines the encrusted patrol car and picks a dead locust off it.
Thank you.
Colt rushes back into the hospital with the dead insect.
I need to use your lab.
This way.
Colt enters a small lab and puts the locust in a dish. Taking off his leather jacket, he quickly arms himself with a scalpel and spatula. He slices into the bloody locust. He pulls open the incision and fishes around its insides, oozing thick blood. With a look of gradual realization, he grabs his jacket and hurries out.
Vicky? How far away is your team?
About an hour. Why?
I think this is going to get a lot worse before it gets any better.
I thought you said all we had to do was contain the swarm until they die down.
Well, I know, because that's what your father had told me.
What are you saying?
Look, I took a new specimen from the patrol car the sheriff used to bring in the little boy. It was a juvenile.
That's impossible. And the swarm is made up entirely of drones.
Maybe there was some sort of mutation, something that your father didn't know about.
If what you're saying is true, then that means...
It means the swarm is breeding.
Two military choppers touch down on a remote airfield. A USDA vehicle arrives to meet them, and wearing matching shades, Colt and Vicky get out to meet the new arrivals, along with some of Vicky's colleagues. Flanked by his response team, who are dressed in black combats, Greg walks towards the welcome party. Vicky greets him with a hug.
Hi, Vic.
Greg.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Hi, Colt Dunn. You part of Vicky's team?
Yes, sir.
He's an entomologist. He's consulting on the infestation.
Great. Good to meet you. So I took a look at all the stuff you faxed over. Is it as bad as it looks?
It's worse. I hope you're ready to lose some sleep.
Come on, Vic. You know I don't sleep.
I'll brief you on the drive.
So if what you're saying is accurate, then there must have been some kind of spontaneous adaptation.
I've seen it before. It's a trait fairly common to amphibians and reptiles, but in the insect world, it's incredibly rare.
We gotta figure something out. These people are scared.
Well, we gotta find the nest.
A short time later, Greg and his team file into the USDA incident room.
Well, judging from the pattern they've been feeding in, I'd sit somewhere around here.
That's the Frisco picnic grounds. That's where the boy and his family were attacked.
All right, we start there, we work on the grid pattern, we find the nest, we get rid of it.
I'll have my people ready to go at first light.
All right, gentlemen, listen up.
Let's just hope nothing happens between now and then.
A couple of guys are riding along a forest path on scramblers. They ride over a carpet of dead locusts. One of them is suddenly overwhelmed by a swarm of locusts and comes off his bike. Scrambling to his feet, he pulls off his helmet, disorientated, and looks around. He looks up and sees a vast cloud of locusts that swoop towards him. Nearby, the other rider searches for his friend.
John!
The swarm speeds towards him. Colt's at home, sitting on a bench beside the lake, looking out across the water. Vicky comes up behind him and massages his shoulders.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, thanks.
Long day.
Yeah, I should be the one rubbing your shoulders.
Well, when we're done with this, I'll take you up on that.
He looks preoccupied, and she sits beside him.
Hey. You okay?
Yeah. Yeah, just thinking.
About what?
About all the years I spent trying to explain to people that our actions have consequences. Put poison in our bodies and wonder why we're sick. We put poison in the environment and then can't figure out why it rebels against us with things like global warming. Before I left Xylogen, I warned your dad what could happen and he didn't listen. And now here we are. I just feel like I've just been wasting my time.
No. No, you're not wasting your time, Colt. Getting people to change isn't easy. They have to want to. It takes a long time.
Yeah, I guess.
So do you really think we'll be able to stop them?
I don't know. But I hate to find out what could happen if we don't.
The sun rises over a mountain on the horizon, and the USDA van zips along a country road. Dressed in black combat gear and heavily armed, Colt and Vicky lead the response team through the forest along with USDA agents in white hazmat suits, with tanks strapped to their backs. They enter the cave where Kyle's glider is on the ground where he dropped it. Greg's team of six wear helmets, weapons drawn, ready for combat.
Everybody keep your eyes open.
Stay focused, people.
The floor of the cave is strewn with rocky mounds and dead locusts.
Wait a minute. Nobody move.
What's up?
I think we found the nest.
Colt looks up.
We're in it.
Everyone's gaze follows the trajectory of Colt's, to the high ceiling, shimmering with scuttling and hovering locusts.
What's that smell?
You don't want to know.
They move on through the cave with Colt leading, cradling a semi-automatic as they find more and more dead locusts on the dusty, rocky ground.
My God, there's millions of them.
They're hanging from the dark cave ceiling in stringy pods. A locust the size of a bird lands on Vicky's arm.
Colt.
It inches towards her shoulder, its wings twitching.
Nobody move.
It flies away and Vicky sighs anxiously.
All right, Doug. Get your samples and let's get out of here.
Using tweezers, Colt picks some large, juicy grubs off the slimy cave wall and drops them into a jar.
Okay, that ought to do it.
Okay, hose them down.
On go the respirators, and the guys in hazmat suits start spraying clouds of pesticide. Some is spilt on Vicky's foot, and a locust is attracted to it, lapping at it like a cat with a saucer of milk.
Colt!
He goes up to her and observes the locust feeding on the white liquid.
The pesticide's not working.
What do you mean?
It's not working. The pesticide's not working. We gotta pull out now.
The pesticide guys withdraw.
Burn them! Burn them!
But what are you doing? You're just gonna agitate them. You don't have enough firepower.
Flamethrowers are employed.
You're not in charge, Dutton.
Burn them! Burn them! Go!
Let's go! Let's get out of here now!
They flee from the cave with the agitated locusts in hot pursuit. As they sprint across a clearing towards the vehicles, the swarm descends, the air thick with the ravenous carnivores. The two team members with flamethrowers spray huge bursts at the swarm, but one of them is overwhelmed, the locusts undeterred by the inferno. Vicky falls over before she can reach the vehicle. Colt lies on top of her to shield her from the waves of locusts, and the remaining flamethrower guy is set alight as his fuel pipe is severed. He explodes and the swarm flies away, the air clearing like the passing of a storm. Colt and Vicky look up from their prone position as the locusts retreat, leaving the clearing littered with the bodies of the response team. Later, a body is stretchered to a position overlooking the clearing and laid beside a row of more covered bodies on stretchers. Vicky stands over them, looking mournful. Head bowed and looking somber, Colt walks over to her.
You gonna be okay?
Yeah, fine. What happened?
She looks down at one of the bodies, the remains of its face exposed, bloody, with teeth and bone poking out. She puts a hand to her mouth as she gags.
I don't get it. Why didn't they attack us?
I don't know.
In Washington, D.C., Alex takes a call.
Ballard, what the hell's going on out there?
The entire team was wiped out, so I've got the backup team here. They're still pulling out bodies. Colt, Dutton, and Vicky and I are the only survivors. Looks like that swarm is on the move.
I've seen the projections, Greg. It looks bad. I've contacted General Barish, and I'm authorizing the use of UD-66, military-grade pesticide.
Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. I just don't understand how you guys made it.
For some reason, they just never attacked us.
Greg nods and walks away. Later, Colt's at the map in the incident room.
Okay, that takes care of that mess. Now, it's pretty obvious that this swarm is still viable and on the move, and it's just a matter of time before they look to nest again. Maybe next time in a more populated area.
I think you two should see this.
What are we looking at?
Computer simulation of the swarm's progress. We used the same modeling in North Africa during the 92 infestation, so we know it's accurate. This is today. This is 24 hours, 48 hours, and the swarm is left unchecked. This is 96 hours.
Can you imagine if those things made it to a major city? Boise, Omaha, with all the places to nest and hide, there'd be no stopping them.
And right now, we're only dealing with the one swarm.
That's right. If it splits,
the destruction would increase exponentially. I think it might be time to talk about our other options.
What other options?
The way the emergency response structure is set up, you can approve an emergency directive that would allow us to bring in a special military unit.
Military?
More specifically, a National Guard unit trained to deal with this kind of situation.
Oh, okay. And what are you going to do? Shoot them down with some laser-guided smart bombs?
I'm just trying to work this step by step, okay? If your contact at Silogen had been right and the things actually had been sterile, this would all be over now, but they aren't. Yes, we've taken out the nest, but you know what we're facing here. This same species swept through the entire African continent in less than a month. 1.6 million people starved to death as a result.
People starving to death is not our problem right now.
Look, I'm just trying to do the job I was sent here to do, which is to stop that swarm before it gets any more out of control. But we've got to be realistic, Colt. Come on. You saw what happened back at the nest? And the military has access to pesticides that aren't commercially available.
Yeah, that's because they're poisonous to a hell of a lot more things than just bugs.
I can appreciate your position, Colt, but we have to look at this as a war. We've got to use all the weapons at our disposal. I can have a couple of guard choppers loaded with UD-66, airborne and on-site within an hour.
Come on, you cannot seriously be considering this.
I don't have a choice, Colt. We've got to stop that swarm from spreading even further.
Issue the order.
I'll sign it.
Good.
This is a huge mistake. UD-66 is the most deadly pesticide on the planet. The United States government didn't use it in Afghanistan to kill the opium fields because once you spray it, things do not grow back for 10 years.
People weren't being eaten alive.
Oh, and you think people won't start dying if you spray UD-66?
Give me another option.
Okay, Vicky, look. There is a reason why the locusts did not attack us.
Maybe we were just lucky.
We weren't just lucky, okay? I don't know what it is, but there's a reason. Okay, I am going down to the lab. I'm gonna figure this out.
I know that was tough. You did the right thing.
I hope you're right. Vicky Snow, I need a list of all the outdoor activities across the county over the next 24 hours.
At an amusement park, a four-sided platform with a row of seats on each side shoots up a tower and falls back down. A Ferris wheel slowly turns, roller coasters wind along vertiginous tracks, and an octopus-like cluster of carriages spins at speed. A teenage girl and her dad approach the queue for the platform tower ride.
Oh, there it is.
People of all ages mill around, and a red-nosed clown mingles with the crowd. A young couple share a huge candy floss. A rocking boat swings back and forth as more candy floss is consumed. A couple of locusts flip past the Ferris wheel like swallows. A new set of riders rush into the seats on the tower platform ride, but the teenage girl and her dad don't make it on and find themselves at the front of the queue. The platform takes off like a rocket and drops suddenly. The candy floss couple look to the skies with foreboding as the swarm rips across the blue sky towards the platform riders.
What's wrong with these people? It's not that scary of a ride.
The surly teenage girl is unaware that high above their heads the riders are being feasted on, but blood drips on her.
Oh, sick!
She looks up and sees the sky thick with locusts. The girl and her dad flee as they're dive-bombed by locusts. There's pandemonium on the ground as people flee in all directions, but those on the ride are trapped, strapped tightly into their seats as the locusts tear into them. A man falls over, spilling a box of popcorn on the ground as riders on the roller coaster, the octopus and the swing boat are sitting targets for the swarm. As the candy floss couple watch the carnage, the guy has his throat torn into by a locust. Blood spurts out of his throat as the trapped riders have more and more flesh torn off their faces. In a lab, and wearing a white hazmat suit and latex gloves, Colt examines a slide under a microscope. He fishes inside one of the juicy grubs he collected and adds a sample of the liquid from within onto a slide. He puts the slide under a microscope and observes a yellow structure that looks like the remains of a pancake scraped off a pan that merges into an image of the sunset and a streaming swarm of locusts. In the USDA incident room, the weary team are sat around the table with very little to do other than wait, snooze, and drink coffee.
I've got a fix on the swarm.
They spring into action, and Vicky and Greg gather around a computer screen showing a fix on a map.
So where is it?
It just hit an amusement park off I-41.
Casualties?
We don't have exact numbers, but it looks bad.
Look, at the rate the swarm is moving, it's going to reach Prairie in under 3 hours.
Probably cleared out their last feeding ground and are looking for a new one.
You make any progress figuring out another way to stop them?
No, not yet.
If we can just figure out a way to slow them down.
Put together a lot of livestock somewhere. Get that swarm in one place.
And what, use choppers with sprayers and hit them as they fly in?
Exactly. Hit them with the UD-66.
Oh, well, that's madness. The collateral damage would be devastating.
Look, this point is the only way.
There's gotta be a better option.
Okay. We'll go with U-45. It's a lot stronger than what we used in the cave. This is Ballard. I need those choppers in the air with U-45. Target coordinates to follow.
At Silogen, Gary's in his office shredding documents. Looking grave, Russ pops his head round the door.
Is it done?
It's done.
A chopper is airborne bearing tanks of U-45. Wearing white hazmat suits, Vicky, Greg and their team watch a herd of cattle from behind their vehicles.
So will it work?
It better. Those boxes are emitting a sound that'll make the swarm think it's other locusts feeding. It'll bring them straight here, and we'll destroy them with the U-45.
Yeah. But will it work?
Like I said, it better.
This is Hello Whiskey Foxtrot. We're airborne in the waiting coordinate. Over.
Roger, Whiskey Foxtrot. Lock onto this signal, stand by to deploy. Over.
Roger that. Locking on to your signal and standing by.
In the lab at USDA, Colt releases a gas into a tank of locusts.
Okay. Let's see what you think of this. You're resistant to pesticide. In fact, you even seem to be attracted to it. But you didn't attack Vicky or me.
Suited up and in goggles and respirator, he watches the specimens and frowns.
Oh, no.
Here they come.
The vast swarm gathers like a storm cloud. Colt speeds along a dusty road in his truck, anxiously looking up at the shimmering cloud of locusts overhead. The swarm attacks the cattle, stripping the flesh off their bones like piranhas, as Greg and Vicky look on.
It's me.
Colt, what? I can barely hear you.
You've got to call off the choppers.
What?
I said you've got to call off the choppers.
Call them off? Colt, what?
Pesticides attract them.
The pesticides what?
The pesticides attract the locusts. Think it even makes them stronger.
This is Hello Whiskey Foxtrot. Eye visual on the target area.
Deploy at will.
No, Greg!
What?
The choppers! Call them off!
Why?
Colt said the pesticide attracts the locusts. It won't kill them.
What the hell is he talking about?
The pesticide won't work. You've got to call them off. Just trust him, Greg.
Abort! Abort! Whiskey Foxtrot, do you copy? Over. Damn it! The swarm's so massive, it must be interfering with the radio transmissions.
The pesticide is released from the tanks attached to the chopper. The locusts are drawn away from the dead cattle to the chopper. Vicky and Greg watch helplessly as the swarm collides with the chopper. The locusts tear through the cockpit, lacerating the pilots, and the rotor explodes. The chopper spins out of control, plummeting towards the ground like a bird shot from the sky. The team crouches behind their vehicles and Colt arrives.
Now there's nothing to stand in my way.
In Washington, D.C., Alex is on the phone, flanked by two military aides.
Yes, Mr. President. Sir, the swarm just attacked an amusement park outside the town of Prairie.
Yes, sir. We don't know the casualties yet. We're still assessing the damage, but it looks pretty bad. Sir, according to our projections, the swarm will be in the town of Prairie in just a few hours. I'm asking you to authorize the use of the National Guard. They'll assist with the casualty evacuation and also support our teams on the ground. Yes, sir. Thank you. All right, send them in.
The preacher's outside USDA headquarters as the troops arrive.
The locusts were not given power to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion. Men sought death, but death they did not find. They longed to die, but death eluded them. The rest of mankind, not killed by the plague, still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons.
You're all God's children, and you shall all be spared.
The judgment day is upon us, and only he who believes in the Lord shall be spared. Show no fear as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
In the incident room...
We're down to our last option.
Not the UD-66.
Yes.
It may not even work. It's just a super pesticide with really bad side effects.
UD-66 is not a pesticide, Colt. It's classified as a chemical weapon.
I know what it is. Now look, you saw how they reacted to the U-45. What makes you think they would react any differently to this?
Because there isn't a biological system on the planet that can survive concentrated exposure to UD-66.
And just where do you plan on dropping it?
Obviously, we would try to avoid the population center.
I don't even want to think what would happen if people are exposed to this.
Look, I fully understand the risk here, Colt, but we need to stop that swarm.
Hell, while you're at it, why don't you just go ahead and nuke them?
We're out of options. Decision has been made.
They glare at each other, and then Greg strides away. Vicky looks uncomfortable. Outside, the heavily armed troops line up by their vehicles as the swarm approaches the town.
The last days are upon us, and only he who believed in the Lord shall be spared. Feel no fear. Repent!
The troops open fire with flamethrowers. But the swarm rips into them, felling the preacher as well.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in pastures by...
The preacher clutches his Bible tightly as the locusts tear into his face, as well as the troops, leading bloody, eviscerated corpses in their wake. Later, in the incident room.
Ballard. Thank you. The choppers are airborne.
Ballard, wait. Don't you get it, man? Now, there's something in their genetic makeup that attracts them to chemical pesticides and weapons. They thrive on it. It's beyond a resistance. It's almost as if it's hardwired into their system. It explains everything.
Nothing can survive UD-66. Nothing.
Wait, just listen to me, okay? Hear me out. Okay, it's a cycle, all right? We grow crops, most of which are sprayed with chemical pesticides. Those crops are then harvested and fed to humans and animals, thus spreading traces of that pesticide in the humans and animals. That's why both are being attacked.
Then why didn't they attack you and Vicky?
Because we only consume organic foods. Foods not sprayed with chemical pesticides. They weren't attracted to us. Look, I checked out a list of infested farms. There were half a dozen organic farms in the infestation pattern. None of them were attacked.
This is really stretching it, Colt.
No, Greg, wait. What he's saying makes sense.
Great. We've got one of the most toxic substances ever engineered by man on its way here, and you're telling me it won't do any good.
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Then what will?
Look, their resistance to chemicals is kind of like our immune system, okay? We're exposed to viruses all the time. Therefore, our body becomes immune. But it's when that rare virus gets into our system that our antibodies can't fight it and we become sick.
Okay, so what are you getting at?
I'm just telling you, we need to find the equivalent of that rare virus, something organic, something that they've never been exposed to before.
Something that their systems won't know how to deal with.
Exactly.
Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to the airfield. I think I know what will stop them.
Take my truck. There's a curfew in force and soldiers on the street. You see in a civilian vehicle, they'll arrest you on sight. My truck, you'll have a chance. I'll order the choppers to remain on station until I hear from you. Taking one hell of a chance here, Dutton. You better be right.
Thanks.
A beaten-up crop duster stands on the tarmac at the airfield. Wearing shades and a leather jacket, Colt pulls up in a USDA truck.
Help! Give me a hand with this!
A three-strong ground crew springs into action. Colt grabs a hose as a tank labeled All Organic is loaded onto a forklift. Colt waves the forklift towards the crop duster and connects the hose to the side of the propeller plane. A short time later, the forklift withdraws from the aircraft. And Colt climbs up into the cockpit. One of the ground crew dashes up to pull away the wheel blocks. Wearing a headset, Colt closes the cockpit hatch and gives a thumbs up to the ground crew guy scurrying away with the blocks. Duster takes off with Colt at the controls in shades, looking determined. The plane is silhouetted against the blazing sun as it disappears off into the distance. In the incident room, Vicky's looking tense.
Vicky, I'm airborne.
Hurry, Colt, we're running out of time.
Yeah, let's just hope this works.
Greg stares blankly with his hands on his hips. Colt approaches the town, which nestles in the shadows of a mountain range. The swarm is clustered around tall blocks in the center of the town.
Bombs away.
He buzzes over the swarm, leaving a trail of sandy-colored pesticide in his wake. A downpour of dead locusts hits the ground.
The locusts are dying! I repeat, the locusts are dying.
Did it.
It's working. The swarm's dying.
This is Ballard. Recall the choppers. Swarm has been neutralized. I repeat, the swarm has been neutralized.
Later, Vicky, Colt, and Greg walk along a street littered with dead locusts.
So what happens now?
Well, we start the cleanup, and we pay a little visit to the folks at Silogen.
I hate to think my father could be responsible for this.
They spot another swarm in the distance.
Colt!
The swarm must have split before we found the first nest.
How much more of that organic pesticide do you have left?
Not enough. It'll take days to make more.
So what do we do now?
Evacuate the town and go with the UD-66 after all.
No. There may be one more shot.
Vicky, what do you mean? Where are you going?
To see my father. Get back to the airfield. You're gonna need to be ready and refueled.
I'm going to Silogen. I'm going with you.
And hurry up!
They speed away in opposite directions through the desolation left by the locust attack. Vicky and Greg in a USDA truck. A guard stands at a security barrier on the perimeter of the Silogen complex. Greg pulls up to the barrier and shows his ID card. In his office, Gary glances furtively out of the window and takes some documents from a safe that he puts in a briefcase.
Julia, I need you to get me on the next plane to New York. I'll call you from the airport.
Certainly, Mr. Wood.
As Gary strides out, leaving his secretary to make a call, the barrier rises to let Greg and Vicky drive through. They park up at the entrance, and a receptionist gets to his feet as Vicky strides in with Greg.
Miss Snow, you can't go up there.
Henry, I need to see my father now.
The receptionist makes a call, and Vicky and Greg march into Russ's office.
Honey?
I'm here on official business.
Agent Ballard, Department of Agriculture Enforcement Division. We need to ask you a few questions. I know why you're here. We'll also be needing to speak with Mr. Wolf. Do you happen to know where he might be? No idea.
Gary's on the road.
Daddy, please tell me you didn't have anything to do with this.
I wish I could.
So Colt was right. Even after he warned you, even after he quit because of this project, you went ahead with it anyway, knowing how dangerous it was?
Gary thought we needed something new and innovative to compete, and I thought that I could control them.
People have died.
I know. And I know it's my fault.
Well, then I guess you should also know that the swarm has split into subswarms.
And at the rate they're moving, they'll cover North America in less than a few weeks.
We need your help to stop them.
I think I may have a solution.
He leads the way out of his office. Gary's driving along a remote road when he suddenly becomes aware of the odd locust flitting past. He sticks his head out of the window and looks up, before hurriedly winding up the window. The swarm gathers. They smash through the car window, forcing Gary off the road. Overwhelmed by locusts, he staggers out of the car and they rip him to shreds. Colt's at the airfield.
No, say it again.
Here, talk to my father.
It's a pheromone lure, a method we use to control them during the experiments. They have to respond because it's hardwired into the genetic makeup. You can lure them into the dome and they'll be contained.
Okay, then what?
We blow up the dome and kill the swarm.
Okay, let's do it.
I've got a tanker heading your direction right now.
Yeah, I see it. It just got here.
That should do it.
Yeah, well, let's hope so.
Good luck.
Colt dashes towards the approaching silage and tanker.
Everything's riding on this, Vicky, so I need you to level with me. Will this work?
It has to.
This is Ballard. Get the choppers on the pad warmed up and standing by.
In the cockpit of the crop duster, Colt puts on the headset and gives a thumbs up to the tanker driver. Taxis to the runway. And takes off. He releases a gas that drifts through the air. Soldiers march into the dome.
Put it there.
A cylindrical explosive device is placed on a path between the corn stalks. A control box is connected to the explosive device and primed. The control box is placed on the floor next to the device, and the soldiers leave. The pheromone lure streaks through the air in the wake of the crop duster, silhouetted against the sun.
All right, come to Papa. I need everything you got, baby. Let's go.
The swarm pursues the plane across a cloudless sky.
This could be close. Fasten your seatbelts. These tray tables up and locked in full upright position.
The soldiers dash away from the complex to an approach road where Greg, Vicky, and Russ are waiting by the vehicles.
Explosive device in place, Sergeant!
Yes, sir. Radio detonation ready to go in your order.
We're ready, Colt. Bring him in.
Stand by to detonate.
Open the doors.
Huge double doors at the end of the dome marked with hazardous materials symbols slide open. And Colt flies through the cavernous dome with the swarm immediately behind him. He flies clean through the dome and out the other side, sliding doors closing behind him, trapping the locusts.
All right, let's hope that does it. I'll see you guys on the ground.
Hit it, Sergeant.
Fire in the hole.
The sergeant taps at a keyboard, but nothing happens.
Damn it!
The swarm could be interfering with the radio signal.
That's it. I'm going with the UD-66.
The UD-66 will not work, and if we don't stop him here, we'll never stop him.
Just what do you suggest we do?
The charge is on a single radio detonator, right?
Yeah, so?
So someone goes in and sets it off manually.
Someone?
Honey, I gotta do this.
No.
This is all my fault. I'll be fine. The device is on a delay. I've got plenty of time to get out.
Daddy.
I love you, baby.
I love you, Dad.
Just plug it in the device.
Greg hands Russ a card.
You've got 30 seconds.
Vicky looks distraught as she watches her father drive towards the dome.
What the hell is he doing?
From the air, Colt spots Russ driving towards the dome. Russ dashes inside. He enters the dome and starts desperately swatting at the locusts, which close in on him. Scrabbling along the floor, he reaches out to prime the device. As the countdown ticks from 30, he collapses on his back, locusts clamped to his face like limpets. Outside, Greg, Vicky, and the soldiers wait anxiously as the countdown passes 20. Colt flies back to the airfield as Vicky waits with her hands clasped together, as if in prayer. The countdown stops at 7.
Come on, blow!
Covered in blood, Russ is still as locusts eat his face. But he slowly raises a bloody hand and makes a move. He reaches out to press a button on the device, restarting the last seconds of the countdown. Before finally being overwhelmed. The complex is destroyed, throwing up a vast cloud of thick black smoke. Colt lands at the airfield. Vicky gets to her feet and walks up alongside Greg to watch the vast wall of blackness spewing out of the remains of the complex. She gazes at the devastation, her eyes welling with tears. At the airfield, Colt climbs out of the cockpit of the crop duster. A short time later, he and Vicky are running across a field of grass towards each other. They wrap their arms around one another.
sorry, Vic. I'm so sorry.
He kisses the side of her head.
Is it over?
Yeah.
He kisses her forehead, and entwined, they walk off into the sun. A caption reads, "Somewhere outside Lafayette, Indiana." A Silogen truck thunders along a quiet road. Inside, a Silogen case is labeled live specimens. The truck thunders on down the road towards a Silogen complex with a vast dome identical to the one that was destroyed. Audio description by Michael Woodford for Iuno Media Group. Cast: Colt, Dan Cortese. Vicky, Julie Benz. Gary, David Keith. Ballard, Kirk B.R. Waller. Russ, Jeff Fay. Henderson, Nasko Srebrev. Kyle, Norm Shopov. Bill, Hristo Mitskov. Odom, Jeff Rank. Agatha, Paraskeva Jukolova. ER Doctor, Julian Vergov. Natty, Natasha Roth. Dad, Paul Joshua Rubin. Tech 1, Ryan Spike Downer. Tech 2, Vlado Mukhalov. Silogen Guard, Vlado Kolev. Street Preacher, Zahari Baharov. National Guard Commander, Harry Anachikin. National Guardsman, Niko Ilyev. Pilot, Velislav Pavlov. Receptionist, Maria Stancheva. Reporter, Jim Clark. Duct Tech, Ivo Simonian. Grimes, Mark Watkins. Copyright 2005, Swarm Productions, LLC.